Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. This is Danny Pena. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1169. And joining me, this is a special one, joining me on this podcast, my fiance, Rihanna Emanuel. What's up?
Hi, fiance.
Hi, fiance.
How are you?
Can you believe we're engaged? Can you believe
that? Yeah, I can. And here's why. I mean, without getting right into it, we have been in quarantine together. So a normal, maybe like 3 year long dating period was condensed down into a year. And we very clearly are wild about each other.
Yeah. So it's been good. It's been great. And we're going to be talking about video games. So that's awesome. Now,
favorite thing.
Besides you getting engaged with me, is there anything else new that you would like to talk about here before we talk about our gaming topics?
Yeah, definitely. Lots new. So aside from us being engaged, which I'm very excited about, we have been talking with a one Andrew Renee Drake from What's Good Games and maybe making an appearance over there soon.
Yes.
So that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And I can't share a lot, but what I can share about where I work, which is G4 TV, we'll have some really cool news very soon. I've been saying that for a while, but I really mean it this time. It's like I can count on one hand.
That's good.
Before you'll find out something really exciting. So stay hype, follow G4 TV.
Yes.
And yeah, I'll definitely be retweeting everything.
Definitely. Well, welcome to the show. And I just love every time you come here and record with me, we always have a great time. You know, we always talk about Apex Legends and a couple other things. I think, what was the other game that we talked about on the show together? Psychonauts 2. That was a really great episode. Yeah. Love that episode. Make sure if this is your first time listening to this, go back and listen to that episode. It's one of my favorites this year. It was so good. And honestly, Ree, it was a very important topic. And also today is a world, World Mental Health Day?
What is this called? Mental Health Day.
Yes.
Yeah. I also adored our conversation about Psychonauts 2, both on the podcast and in our personal lives here. And mental health is so important. It's just as important as physical health. Your brain is part of your body, so you got to take care of it. If you need help, there are resources out there. Danny, I'll share some things with you so you can put it maybe in the description or any posts for this podcast. If you need help or if anybody you know wants a conversation, even just a starting point, there's lots and lots of help out there. Please, please, please take care of your brain.
Yep.
Definitely. It's important.
Definitely. All right, everyone. Thank you thank you once again for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1169. The guys are not here. It's going to be a very interesting couple weeks because P is going to be out of town. Paris has been, you know, busy with other things. So I'm going to be creating content. Some is going to be live here on the stream on Twitch, and some I'm just gonna pre-record it and have it ready for the podcast. So stay tuned. Don't worry, we're not taking a break. It's just been a very busy time for all of us. So stay tuned. And also, we're gonna be talking about Nintendo Switch OLED, which Nintendo sent me a console. We're gonna be talking about that. Also, Back 4 Blood. We've been playing it now for a while, for a couple days here. And also Far Cry 6, which definitely got to go in depth with that one. That was, great game, by the way. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you have comments and questions, make sure to hit us up. And here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Radio. Also, remember, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, follow us, post your review. It will help us so much when you do that. And also share our content. It would be really cool to get more new listeners, man. We get new listeners every day. But let's get more, all right? Let's make it happen. All right, Reed, let's talk about the Nintendo Switch OLED.
Let's do it.
I got this a couple of days ago from Nintendo of America. Thank you, first of all, for sending me one. I got the white one. I'm going to show it here for those who are watching Twitch. This is the white version right here.
So clean.
Very, very clean. It feels very different, the back of the handheld compared to the previous one. It feels really good. It's comfortable. It feels, in my opinion, more premium than compared to the one that I got, because the one that I have is from the original launch gen. So when it came out day one, I got that. So I'm enjoying this a lot. I also love the backside of the console, the handheld, where you could just lay it down, especially if you're like on a flight. This is a perfect handheld to play on the go. So it's really, really cool. So I downloaded a couple games. I know everybody's talking about Metroid Dread, which, by the way, the game looks phenomenal. Love the game a lot. But I've been addicting once again, Ree. Tetris Effect Connected. I love that game so much. But it looks perfect for the handheld. Really, 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 really good. So we're going to talk about just overall the experience playing this console, and the good and the bad. So which one should I start first, Ree? The good or the bad?
Well, it is tricky, right? Because I've had maybe a few minutes holding this console, and I usually play on a Switch Lite. So my experience is with something a little bit smaller, a little bit lighter. I do have the attachments that make the handheld more like a controller. Mm-hmm. So it feels like I'm playing on a Pro Controller when I play the Switch Lite, and I also have the benefit of the D-pad. So the question that I have for you is, of course, when you touch it, the plastic feels more high grade. It's more textured. It does feel more premium. It's a little bit more, you know, solid. It doesn't wiggle as much. But in your opinion, mm-hmm. between the OG Switch mm-hmm. and the OLED Switch, what's the thing that you noticed first when you put it in your hands?
The screen, 100%. It's bigger. The Joy-Cons is the same, because I can still use the same Joy-Cons from my original the original Switch. And I also can use the same dock too. But that's number one. The screen looks a lot better. It's clear. If you play a game that's very colorful, like Mario Kart 8, what's another one? Tetris Effect Connect is a good one. Even Metroid Dread, you could tell that it stands out a lot. You know, so
BioShock looked great on it too. BioShock looks good. Even the darker levels.
Mm-hmm. BioShock looks good. The Witcher, I know I've been getting a lot of questions about The Witcher, how it looks. Once again, this is not a 4K device. I know people are thinking that there's like a major upgrade. The only thing is, it just looks more clear, and it's a lot easier to see, and it stands out a lot. You know, when I played The Witcher back on my old console, it was really hard to play that game in certain parts. It gets really, really dark, especially when you go inside to like the caves, etc. But I turned it on, I played it, and it looks good. It looks beautiful. It looks really, really cool. So it doesn't mean that the game is going to load faster or anything like that. Again, this is not a pro upgrade at all. Now, I do want to say, now I could easily connect my Ethernet cord to the dock, and the download speed is going to be a lot faster. When you play games like Smash, there's going to be less lag because of it. So that's the thing that to me stood out the most. Now, I wished the D-pad was like yours, Ree, because you have the Nintendo Switch Lite, where I love the D-pad of that controller, right? With this one, mm-hmm. it still has the original buttons from the old one. And I get why. This is because of the when you detach the Joy-Cons and you want to play multiplayer locally with friends, I get why they did that, you know. But with yours, you can't detach, you can't take out the controller from your device, you know. So, but the battery is a lot better than, because again, I have the original one. So this one, the battery life on this one is way better. Those are the things that stood out to me the most, you know. And and also it's quieter. I feel like the top part, it feels protected compared to the old one too. A lot protected. So that's it. And also 64 gigs for this console. The original was 32. You know,
32 is tough.
I mean, for nowadays, oh man, it's really rough. So, but I have a SD, a micro SD card, so I could add a bunch of stuff in there too. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah. So, we have, you know, of course, had a couple hours at least each with the Nintendo Switch OLED, and some things I noticed about the hardware is that it definitely looks and feels like more. Again, I say the word premium. Like, the cover snaps all the way off. You don't have to try to fuss with something that flaps off and then is hanging there by a couple of joints. You can pop it completely off, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. There's an Ethernet inside there now. The cord management is just a little bit more refined. And, like, what is your takeaway from going from the original Switch to the OLED and actually moving it around? Because we've played upstairs, we, you know, Switch docks, we've moved it around, you've played it handheld, you've played it docked. Like, what is your experience comparing the two systems and, like, how easy it is to switch between all the different play modes?
Yeah, the quality feels a lot better on this version. And also, one thing that I forgot to mention to Ree is the screen. When I purchased the original console, that one, I was super careful about the screens. I was reading online of people getting scratched easily just by them putting it inside the dock, etc. And I even bought a protector for that. For this one, is already installed as part of the handheld. And Nintendo,
the protector?
Yeah. So Nintendo, that was one of the first things they said to the media. I wish that they would have mentioned this publicly to everyone when they were promoting this device. It's already part of the handheld. So when you look at it, you'll see the protecting screen there. It's already installed in there. So, and they even recommend to people, do not take it off or don't go out there and buy a next one. You really don't need it because it's already there, part of the device. So that's really, really cool, I think. Because the other one,
that's nice.
I was just super.
I wish more devices did that. Yeah. Like, just give us the screen protector. Yeah. Like, it's so hard to find one that fits and then it's the right one and then you have to install it, make sure there aren't any little hairs on it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's so nice that it came with the actual OLED.
Yeah. I was super careful when I first got mine. So I'm like, oh, the older one. Because I read that online of everybody complaining, like, oh my God, my screen is already scratched. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want this situation. So I was just being super careful. But with this, I don't feel like I have to do that. It's already there, you know, in the console. And I had no idea that the console was already, that was part of the console. And I found this out like a couple of days later. So that's awesome. So I think that's
pretty cool.
I think that's like the major, major differences. I feel like it's feels better carrying it around and also even playing the games. It feels a lot better this time around, I think so.
Okay, so Danny, what's the bad about the Switch OLED?
The bad D-pad, I wish it was already there, but I get why it's not available there. I wish there was an upgrade with the dock mode. There is no major difference at all. You could tell when you play this handheld, the screen is brighter, it's colorful, everything, right? Well, handheld mode. But dock mode, there's no major difference. The only thing is now I could connect the Ethernet cord to the dock, and now the connection is going to be way faster when I download games or when I play games online. That's about it. I mean, if you have the previous console, previous handheld that came out that has better battery life, I don't see or recommending people like, oh, you go out there and recommend for them to upgrade. You know, unless you really want a better screen, then this is all for you right there. You know,
Yeah.
So now if you have the original console, then I highly recommend for you to upgrade because you get better battery life, more storage, better screen, better packaging, in my opinion. And I just love the white color. It looks really, really cool. So now we can put it together with the PS5, Xbox Series S, and the Switch, Switch OLED all together. So, yeah.
It's a good, clean look. One thing that I'm now wondering is people who have the Switch OLED and they do hardwire Ethernet into it, and they're playing on a Pro Controller docked, like, can we not, like, just dunk on noobs in Apex anymore who are on Switch? Like, Now they're on par, right? Like that must make a difference for multiplayer.
Yeah. Well, I played Apex because I'm like, oh, let me see if there's any difference with the dock. Again, there was nothing. And you can still see the blur. It's Switch. Aww. It's the Switch, you know. But I played for a couple rounds and it wasn't that bad. I mean, look, if that's the only console that you have, then go for it. Play Apex. It's a fun game, you know. So, but it was cool playing games like Tetris Effect Connected. I was playing a lot online because this is also cross-play. So you get to play people PC, Xbox, PlayStation, all online, which is really cool. They even reset the leaderboards, everything. So they started from scratch now, just with the rankings and everything. So I think that's awesome.
I know some people were very upset about that they lost their rankings and they have to go reset them.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's cool now that all the consoles, all the platforms, it came out at the same time. They first started testing it out with Xbox version, but I think that's cool. I think it's fair to do something like that, you know. So
yeah, it's good to wipe the slate clean every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Now, was there anything that stood out to you about the Nintendo Switch OLED, in your opinion?
Yeah, I did notice. As I said, and as you posted on Twitter earlier this week, we did take it upstairs to the roof and played it outside. And after that, we discovered there's a couple of different ways to change some of the brightness and contrast settings, but they're a little buried. And I'm wondering, like, do you feel like when you got the OLED, did the instructions really walk you through how to navigate all the differences in this console?
See, I'm a fan of Nintendo Switch, so I've been knowing this for a very long time. Now, if you're a new person, this is going to be totally new. Like, this is something that you probably don't know. excuse me. I didn't change the brightness because I think I'm okay with how it is set up like that. But it's not buried at all. It's super easy to do. The thing with me is I can't play a console too bright. After a while, it bothers my eyes. You know, so it's good to have it automatically depending where you're at, if you're outside or indoors. Now I do have to mention this for those that have a Nintendo Switch, and this is like your first time buying a secondary Switch. This is an issue that happened to me a couple days ago, which I didn't know about this. So Nintendo has this setup as you're only allowed to have one primary console. So if you have the old Switch and you have this one, and you have it set up as you're still going to be using multiple consoles, because you can set it up while the process of like downloading all these games and putting in your accounts, you can set up as this will be the new console and you're not going to be using the other one. It will automatically change it for you. But if you use both, then you need to go to the eShop, which is this one is buried. I had to go online and find this out. You have to deregister your previous console. And once you go to the new console and logged in for the first time to the eShop, once you do that, then it will automatically make that as your primary console. Now, if you don't have your console primary, when you go outside and you start playing games and you don't have no internet connection, it will try to connect online and you can't launch any of the games that you have, unless it's something that's like physical, is already inserted into your console. So that was a mission for me. I had to figure that out for a bit, and it worked out for me. Now I have it as my primary console. Now I could go out and play these games offline. I don't need to be online at all. So that was the thing that, to me, was buried for sure for me. Yeah.
No, that's good to know, especially for a lot of Switch owners who don't know what it's like to navigate between two, and they're looking for that upgrade. It's been a couple years, and you know, the menu isn't really very apparent how to get through all of that.
Mm-hmm. But overall, I really... really enjoy this console. This is beautiful. I love it. I'm still love turning it on every day, just playing the Tetris and the other games, you know. So but yeah, I'm gonna keep on playing Metroid Dread. I'll talk about it, but yo, that game is fire. If you love Metroid, it's a lot faster, smoother, colorful graphics. Oh, it's beautiful. Really, really cool. So one thing I do have to mention, I love the packaging. This, see, it's different than the previously. It was like this, the box with the old one, right? But this one is now like, I don't know if it's, you tell me, because you used to do marketing stuff. So for a gaming company, you think there's a reason why they made it this way instead of keeping it the old way? Or you think it's just to stand out differently than the old one, you think?
Most likely just to differentiate the product for people who aren't as familiar with it. It's also, you know, nice when you can pack a pallet in perfect dimensions, and it's possible that the other one was less than ideal and they learned from that.
Yeah.
I mean, in general, I've just seen a lot of learnings from the original Switch, especially in the dock design, where it's just slight tweaks of things that make it feel a little more thoughtful, a little more clever, and it's really cool to see. The other thing I really like is I've noticed like the kickstand is way more useful.
Yes.
Like you can even put it in vertical mode and play something like a, what was it, like a downwell in the example that we saw. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that they've made slight tweaks, and, you know, V2 and V3 of a product is always a little bit nicer and more convenient. And all of the things that you've complained about or noticed that could have been done better on your original Switch, you'll probably see it's been improved in the OLED.
Yeah. All right. So is there anything else? I think that we had a great chat about the Switch OLED. So it's cool. So we're going to go to the next topic. And I think we should talk about Far Cry 6, Ree.
Yeah. Speaking of a fire game.
Oh, my God.
This is one of them.
This is really good. Let me tell you this. I'm not exaggerating. I've been playing this nonstop. Love the story. Love the characters. And I'm enjoying this more than Far Cry 5, I mean. A lot more. And it has a better story, in my opinion. Maybe it's because I could relate to it in different ways. You know, the Caribbean island of Yara, again, it's not a real place. It's not a real location. But it reminded me a lot of just of where I used to live back in the days in Dominican Republic, like the countryside in Dominican Republic. I have family. They're also Cuban. So I can relate to that. I just love the soundtrack. We've been listening to it too nonstop. You know, Giancarlo did a pretty good job with his character, Anton Castillo. Your character, Danny Rojas, is pretty cool. You could pick male or female, whatever you want from there. My choice was female. Really loving her. The character, voice actress is awesome. So it's really cool. And also, amigos, you could have a chorizo as a little dog, as a companion for you. But for me...
Oh, we should have grabbed the chorizo to show everybody on Twitch.
Oh, man, you have it? Can you get it?
Yeah, okay, right. Okay. You keep talking.
Yeah. So for me, the amigo that I've been using the most is Guapo. He's a gator, so he's awesome. He has a gold teeth. Really, really cool. So, Ree is right now is getting chorizo, so we could show it to you guys on Twitch here. But yeah, the game is awesome. Love it. Oh, look, yeah, that's chorizo. That's chorizo right there. Nah, but I love Far Cry 6. It's so, so good. Love the story. I'm almost done with the game. And I just wish I could connect more with your character. I feel like I'm connecting more with the other characters in the game instead of myself in there, so it's cool. All right, let me see Ree. Let me wait for a couple of seconds here. Ree is putting her headphones. She's putting her headphones on. Give me one second. Let's see what she's saying. Let's see what she's gonna say. There you go. No, Ree, what I was saying, I wish I could connect more with the main character, but I'm connecting more with the other characters in the game. Even with Diego, which is Anton Castillo's son, I'm connecting more with him and Anton and everybody else, and nothing with the main character at all. So, yeah, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I've been 100% feeling that for a while now since I got the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely I have way less progress than you do in the game. So I'm maybe 5-ish hours in. Mm-hmm. I focus when I play these Ubisoft games in general, but definitely open world games. I focus on all of the side missions and just mini games like fishing. I've spent maybe an hour of my time in Far Cry fishing, petting all of the animals that I can and seeing what shenanigans I can get up to just by like veering off the golden critical path. So I definitely have way less progress and way less experience with some of the side characters than you do, Danny, but I really like Danny. I like some of the little hints of her personality that you get, like small moments when you're driving in the car and she starts singing along to the song that's playing on the radio. I also picked female Danny or a woman Danny, and absolutely love the voice acting. I think all of the performances that I've seen so far have been phenomenal. Shout out to Giancarlo, who we had an amazing interview with not long ago.
Thanks.
And it's really pulling me into the world. I feel connected to the story. I feel invested in what happens to everybody I've met so far. The character introductions are done in a very fun, stylish way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Everybody feels pretty memorable to me.
Yeah, and I definitely have to mention about this is that I've seen conversations online of people not too thrilled about the Spanglish. Look, I grew up speaking Spanglish.
That's real life.
That's real life. I've done that many times with my cousins, with my family members. We do speak that way. It's nothing new to us. You know, I've been doing that since I was a kid. So, but I'm just wondering, like, for you, Reed, that you're learning Spanish, et cetera, is that an issue? Because, I mean, to me, that's normal. That's like a normal thing, you know, and that's why I said I could relate. I could relate to that because, you know, we do the same thing with my family.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because Ubisoft is, of course, a French game developer, but they have consultants from all across the diaspora of Afro, Latino, White, American, Latin American, Latino. Like every person that you can imagine has been consulted on this game, and we've seen it both personally and private, or both publicly and privately, people saying like, hey, I worked on this, I consulted on this, I wrote this scene, I contributed to this music. So we know for a fact that people who represent those lived experiences and those cultures that Yara is based on have put input into the game. So if somebody feels like it doesn't speak to their personal experience, that's totally valid, but it is pretty authentic from what I've seen compared to what the creators have put into it. And I've seen the creators, they are from places and have history in places that look like Yara. Mm-hmm. As far as what what its effect is on me was I'm American. I'm Black. I am not Latina. I don't have that lived experience to pull from, but it's definitely representative of the people I've met. It's representative of games that I've a better representation than other games that I've seen in Latin American countries or in places that are based on a country like Cuba or an island like Cuba.
Yeah.
So I'm having a good time with it, but I definitely understand if people feel like it doesn't represent them personally. Mm-hmm. There's no argument to be made there.
Yeah. I also have to mention also one of the things that stood out to me in the game is when you're driving, there's only two radio stations in the game. Now, at first, I was not happy about that, but once I thought about it more and more, you know that when you go to a country like Cuba, maybe North Korea, where there's like dictators there, they are the ones that control the media. So there's not that many TV stations. There's not that many radio stations at all. So that part makes sense. Like, all right, now I know why there's only two radio stations in this game. You know, a lot of people probably don't think about it when they're playing. They're like, oh man, I like Grand Theft Auto. There's multiple stations for me to listen to. But it depends on the country, man. Some countries, the government is really controlling a lot of the media from there. So it's government owned. So you're probably not going to see a lot of those public stations. I mean, private stations out there like that, you know. So I think that part made a lot of sense. And there's one part in the story that radio is also related to the story. I'm not going to say what it is, but it made a lot of sense in my opinion. So that was something really cool. Now, I do want to mention this to you, Ree. Mm-hmm. I know you talked about, you did the mini game, the rooster cockfighting game. How was that?
Cockfighting.
How was that? I haven't tried it. I haven't tried it at all.
Sure. So, you know, without getting too into it, because I know a lot of people are still waiting to get into the game, or at least waiting to get this far in the game. There are many, many games. It, of course, it's a Ubisoft. So if you remember Assassin's Creed Black Flag, how they have different missions where you can like send ships to go collect materials or resources and then come back. And it's like a little screen, you know, manage where they're going, how much risk you're going to take. And then you come back maybe an hour later and the results of the mission are there to browse through. Mm-hmm. There's similar mini games like that, which are, I think they're called Bandito missions. Mm-hmm. But there's another mini game in addition to fishing, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
And that is this cockfight. And it's hilarious because it's done like a very over the top fighting game, so you know, a 2D fighting. You have I think three moves. You can heart attack, long range attack, or dodge, and you're literally, you become the animal and you try to beat the other one's ass. It's fun. I will say that. It's a fun little mini game. You can, I think, bet money on it. And I don't know how far it goes. I haven't been that far down the road, but there's a lot of things you can unlock for your animals. And I'm really looking forward to getting into it more. And I know there's been some discussion online about the placement of this mini game or the treatment of animal fighting in games. And I'm curious to know, Danny, if you have any specific interaction or an opinion on that.
That's a great question because, and I even mentioned this to you privately, when I was growing up, there was an area in Dominican Republic where they had cockfighting in there. And I was just curious. I'm like, oh, what is this? I just went inside, not knowing. I thought it was like a place where people hang out, whatever. So I went in, and people were screaming, and you see two roosters fighting. Personally, for me, again, people are going to have different opinions. For me, I felt uncomfortable about it, and I just couldn't be there for that long, and I just walked out. You know, again, that's me. But I know they do that a lot in Latin America. So to them, it's like a normal thing. But for me, I feel super uncomfortable. Maybe that's the reason why I haven't really been trying out cockfighting in the game. It's just like it will bring back those memories for me personally. So
sure. Yeah. And I mean, just a sort of a larger note, like there are things in games that people are uncomfortable with. That's art, that's media, that's anything at all. So I really appreciate hearing that it did make you uncomfortable, but that it's something that happens. And there's a way to make it interesting or accessible or into a game, because at the end of the day, this is a video game.
Now, Ree, let's be real. I got to give props to Ubisoft for adding accessibility in the game. A lot.
Oh, yeah. Right kudos. At the beginning,
right
too.
At the beginning of the game. I think that's really, really cool. Really awesome that they managed to do that.
Absolutely. It's nice to see. And I mean, obviously, there's a larger conversation going on about accessibility in gaming and, you know, gaming being for everyone versus like every game being the personal taste for everyone. Obviously, those are two very different approaches, but I really appreciate when I boot up a game and like one of the first things I see is like the ability to turn on subtitles and change the brightness. That is so helpful for someone like me. When I'm playing a game, I need subtitles. When I'm watching a movie, I could go either way. It depends on how much action I'm watching. So it's good to give people choice. Like that's always going to be a better experience for the majority is when folks can tailor what they need right at the beginning before they start playing the game and feeling uncomfortable and struggling.
You know, I'm happy that this game was released. You know, I'm not saying that everything is perfect, you know, with this game, but I'm glad that we get to see Spanglish in the game. We get to see how it is living in the countryside of a Caribbean island. I think this is going to help people to be more curious about how is living in Cuba or in other places in Latin America. Maybe they also will do more research of, man, there's a certain word that they said in the game that I don't know what it means. Let me go do some research about it. Like, it's going to open up the doors for people to learn more about our culture. That's one of the things that I'm very, very happy that this was released. Like, and especially now, it was released right during the Hispanic Heritage Month. I know that the next game that's coming up very soon is Forza Horizon 5. It takes place in Mexico, so it's good that that we're getting to see more of that in games, because usually we always see the same places over and over in games, you know. So I think that was really, really, really cool to see that from Ubisoft, you know. And I hope we get to
also
see that from other companies.
One more shout out to that soundtrack, because there is an artist on there that's in the game that is amazing.
Which one? Okay, there's so many.
I don't want to give too much away, but she raps.
Oh, okay, yeah, yes, yes, yeah. You go listen to it. See, actually, if you go and search for the music of Yara, Far Cry 6. If you go search on Spotify or Apple Music, she's one of the first artists in there that pops up in the soundtrack. And she pops up again multiple times. So I'd recommend. You know what's cool to read? Like when you walk around, you see people playing their instruments, playing some salsa, right? I like the when you go to like certain parties, you see them like bopping and listen to the hip hop. It's more than just salsa. Like you listen to like the urban side of Latin music, reggaeton, rap, like hip hop, salsa. You even listen to like the old school salsa. For me, when I'm driving around, I love listening to like the old school salsa. It reminds me a lot of like growing up, you know, listening to like old merengues with my parents and my grandparents. So that was dope. I think that was really cool. That's the music that I listen to the most every time I drive around Yada. For you?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had as much time driving around. As I said, I'm mostly running and randomly accosting people. But when I have been driving, I do tend to go to the old school salsa stations because, as you mentioned before, I am learning Spanish and those songs really help a lot. Like I start to learn the words and sing along, mm-hmm. just like Danny does when mm-hmm. she's driving in the car. So I really enjoy the music. It's fantastic. Really good mood setting too. And it's fun how sometimes it continues into different missions and there'll be music that goes along with what you're doing in the game. And it's pretty cool.
Well, one part that I love too in the game is there's certain missions that their songs will pop up that was produced and made just for the game. It's not licensed music. This is a produced track from Ubisoft. Love that. Like there's one of the first missions. It's very, very catchy. Oh my God.
It is. And we sing it all the time.
All the time.
Bella Ciao.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so dope. And it's also available on Spotify or Apple Music. It's there. So it's awesome. Highly recommend it. So, all right. Anything else about? Oh, co-op. I forgot to mention that. Co-op.
Yeah.
I enjoyed playing co-op with you. That was so much fun. So much fun.
Yeah. Co-op has been fun. What else? The season pass. If you get the Blood Dragon DLC, there is a dog.
Oh, yes. You got to mention that.
The dog is so cute and it's metal and they have a little metal bark and they have glowing teeth and they actually have a QR code on their collar. You can scan it. I actually posted it on Twitter last week for a nice little surprise, but it is so cute. And it's cool how all of the animal companions have, you know, different benefits. So it's sort of drawing on the learnings of Far Cry Primal, which I absolutely loved. Mm-hmm. And the first animal companion you get, Guapo, is hilarious and very cute. Obviously, Chorizo, fan favorite because everybody loves dogs. But I got to say, the K9000 is my favorite animal companion so far.
Yeah, I love seeing those videos of every time you go through a car, he jumps in. Hey,
he jumps in.
Your passenger.
He rides with me.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know why it's so exciting.
You know, a lot of people don't know about this, but when you play co-op this time around Far Cry 6, your stats continues in the game for you. So, again, if let's say Ree is hosting the game, we're going to continue her story, right? But if let's say I join in and I'm like rank 9, let's just say, it will also continue from that game too. So it's not like it will change because now I'm playing Ree's campaign. That was awesome for them to add that in there.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
This episode is sponsored by Namecheap, who is offering all Gamertag Radio listeners an exclusive deal. Get a .live domain name today for only $1.99. .live is the perfect domain and brand name for gamers, live streamers, and esports players. Seamlessly redirect your live streams to Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, or any streaming platform. Promote your .live domain name in your bio, social posts, live shoutouts, and even stream chats, and grow your fan base today. But if .live is not for you, Namecheap's got another offer for anyone who is thinking about starting a new website. All GTR listeners can get 30% off on any premium domain name, including .com and other popular extensions. To access either of the deals, go to Namecheap.com and select any non-premium domain name and enter the code GTR in the promo box at checkout. Namecheap is the world's largest second domain register and a top service provider for everything you need to launch an amazing website. Namecheap has been in the industry leader for more than 20 years. Their mission is to make the internet accessible and affordable for everyone. Namecheap also offers hundreds of domain extensions from the traditional .com and .net to .gg and .live, which has become a go-to for many gamers and streamers. So once again, Namecheap is offering all Gamertag Radio listeners a .live domain for only $1.99. Take advantage of this deal. The original price is $20.88, plus 30% off any non-premium domain name for its first year of registration. The offer cannot be combined with any existing sales, but can overdrive any current sale if its discounted is less than 30%. So, GTR listeners, take action right now to get your domain.live name right now for $1.99 or enjoy 30% off on any non-premium domain. Go to namecheap.com and search for your desired domain name and use the code GTR at checkout. Now let's go back to the show.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, we're going to continue here our conversation, but this time, and look, this was not live on Twitch. We did this separately because, you know, it was under embargo still. But I had an opportunity to play Forza Horizon 5, which this game is developed by Playground Games. It's coming out November 9th of this year and day one on Xbox Game Pass. So this is a series that I love so much. I've been playing this since the first one, and it gets better and better, especially with the locations. You know, there's Australia, UK, and this one, Ree, it takes place in Mexico. I'm excited about that so much. Again, we had a conversation about Far Cry 6, Hispanic Heritage Month. More games now that takes place in Latin America, which is awesome. Because look, in Mexico, this is a huge, huge gaming community over there, especially the Xbox. A lot of fans over there, and look, they're now gonna play games that's made and getting actors and everything from there, and also special artists from Mexico. That's gonna be in this new game for Forza Horizon. So, but yeah, I had a great time. I played this for a couple of days. Shout out to Xbox for giving me the opportunity. This is a preview build. There's only 90. It was like around 90 minutes or so of just content. Single player. There was no multiplayer in this at all. But the goal was just to give us an idea of overall with the design choice, the new things that you could do in this game and everything. And it was a lot of fun. The only thing that I wish they would have added in this game is more Mexican Latin America music. They do have a Mexican voice actor in there. He's also in the game, helps you out with telling you about the different things you could do, like racing, tournaments, etc. And you could tell he's like super proud. He's like, yo, we're going to show you Mexico. Like he's like super, super hype in the game. But that was the only thing. Like I felt it was too much American music. And this is, again, the preview version because there's only one station available in this version, you know, for this one. So hopefully the retail version, we'll get to hear more Spanish music, etc. Because I think that's important for people to learn more, not only about how Mexico looks, because I know they have like special artists in there that they have like paintings all over the country, and you will get to see them in the game. But I think it's important not only to have the artist and the voice actor, but they need to have also music so people could learn more about the Latin culture, etc. You know, so but that was the only issue that I had with the game. But overall, it's oh my god, it's so so good, so much fun. I love the introduction. They show you like different cars that you do that you get right in the beginning of the game, and also the environment. Like there's one part where there's like a sandstorm and it's really hard to see, but it's exciting and challenging. Like, oh man, it's so, so good. Love it so much, man. So yeah, Reed, that's a little bit about the introduction about Forza Horizon 5 for me. Yeah. I've been having a great time. You know, if you have any questions, we could definitely talk about it here.
Yeah, let's get into it. So, you know, disclosure/context for anyone listening, I have not played any Forza game more than maybe like 10 minutes. So I have a lot of questions for you, Danny. I'm trying to get through them quick. But first one being, what would you say to somebody coming in new to the franchise? Like, what should they expect if they were to jump in with Forza Horizon 5?
Just the environment is different. Again, when you play a game like Forza Horizon 4, you could tell the difference from the previous game because of the design, a lot of mountains, things to do. You go to the beach in Australia, et cetera, right? For this one, is that you'll see the sandstorm. You see a couple of new things because of the location that they're in the game. So that's one of the things that stood out to me the most was just the design choice in there. And it looks, look, I played it on the Series X and S, and both versions look phenomenal. And you also have a choice if you want to put it as quality mode or performance mode. Performance mode is 60 frames per second. If you put quality, now the game is going to stand out even more graphically. But instead of being 60 frames per second, this is going to be 30 frames per second. So it's optional. And one thing that we also talked about multiple times on the show is accessibility. It's also available here. Big time, like similar to Far Cry 6 and also Back 4 Blood, which is good. I think that's always been the focus for Microsoft now for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, really cool to see. Really, really cool. And also having a Latino voice actor, I've never seen that before for the franchise. So that's something new and really, really cool in there. So the game looks beautiful. The location looks awesome. Of course, I would like to see what are the new things they have for multiplayer. I haven't had the chance to try that out because it was not available in this build. So hopefully we'll get to hear more once it gets closer to the game. But yeah, cars, everything, things that you do in the game, everything is there. Like you can upgrade and unlock cars, buy cars, cosmetics. Everything is available there.
Okay. And for someone like me, again, who hasn't really played any Forza, and I do know at least there's a difference between Forza Motorsport and Forza Horizon. So what would you say are like some of the things that make this version of Horizon really unique and really fun to play?
Yeah, so it's an open world game. You will have typical racing parts where you could just race, etc. But there's also times where you get together with friends and you do explore. You just explore everywhere. It's similar to like any other open world game, but instead of walking around, you're actually in a car. You're driving everywhere. So there's hundreds and hundreds of challenges in there that you could work together. There's stuff to discover. There's even roads that every time you discover, it will pop up and it will say, Danny, you have discovered 40 new locations out of 500. And sometimes you could compare that to your friends as also in the game. You also will see bots of like, let's say, you play Forza Horizon, the series, or even Forza Horizon Motorsport for a very long time. The cloud will grab the way how you play, and it will add that to the bots. So if you're really aggressive of cutting people off or crashing people, the bots will be the same way once you play play it online. You don't have to be online for people to play with you and get that experience. The bot would do it for you. You
so
get
that's
what I'm saying?
What they called, I think it was a drivatar.
Drivatar, yeah, that's what they call it. But they haven't really been promoting that for a while. Yeah. But so there's weather events. Because of the weather events, it will completely change the way how you race and just the experience overall. And it's very, very challenging. Again, there's new events, challenges. There's a bunch of collectibles, rewards, etc. So But I just love that part, and also it's is easier to find new people that are, let's say you want to play online against others. If you see someone and you see them like racing pretty good, and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna challenge them. So you could just go up to them like, hey, you want to race? What's up? And right anywhere around the world of Mexico, and you could do that, and it's pretty cool. It's very challenging. So you could do that, or do multiplayer where there's like totally different modes in there that you could play against each other, racing, etc. So, but again, I would like to learn more about the multiplayer side because it wasn't available for this build. So,
yeah.
But you could do car clubs in there too, and get a group of people. Like usually, we will always have like 100 people in our club. Every time the game comes out. So I'm going to do this again. So make sure to search for Gamertag Radio so you could join our club and play together. You know, the game is going to be available on Game Pass, so it's going to be easier for people to find it and play. And yeah. Of course, I forgot to mention this, Ree. There is no loading in this game. So once the game loads, that's it. The game is out there. So loading is like,
wow,
super fun. Super fun and fast. So it doesn't kill your experience at all.
That's nice. And mm-hmm. you mentioned a couple of times, obviously, the setting is really unique and really, really beautiful. So I know you spent more time in Dominican Republic, but from your experience, like how representative is this of Mexican terrain, like both in the La Ciudad and also like in the countryside?
Yeah, it's good. I know right in the beginning of the game, it introduced you to the different locations, like locations or weather situations that is going to be part of the game. I mentioned about Sandstorm, where you're going to be in the area where that happens a lot. And you'll see it from far away. You're like, oh, man, it's coming. We're going to go straight to the Sandstorm. Or you go to an area where it's called the La Selva. It's like the jungle. And it says in the game, again, I love that part where they have certain words in English, but also in Spanish. So at least you understand what was that about. So when you start, it says La Selva, and it's like, in English, is okay, the jungle in Mexico, whatever. So you see those environments. You see volcanoes. You see the beach. There's a lot of really, really cool locations in the game that makes the experience a lot better, which you haven't even seen that in the previous versions of Forza Horizon. So that's the part that I think that I'm very, very excited about the most, is that of discovering those spots. And I've spoken to people that live in Mexico that also try this this build, and they said that it's not 100% accurate, but they're happy that they managed to add most of the things in there. Remember, it's Mexico is so big, there's mm-hmm. no way they're going to add every single thing of the country in this one game.
Yeah, sort of like Second Son is a smaller version of Seattle, so it has maybe a few landmarks, but it's obviously not the entire, you know, map one-to-one shrunken down for a video game. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Like if you go to a church, you're going to see the La Virgen María, the Virgin Mary, or the saints. You see them in the game, or you see paintings that is from a Mexican artist. It is all over the game, and you get to see it, and you probably will learn more about the culture through that too, you know. But like I said in the beginning, I was disappointed that they weren't no Latin music, right? The preview build version wasn't there. Like I wish they could have added some Spanish stuff in there, because that's the thing that got me excited about Far Cry 6. I was like, man, even during the preview, when I was playing, I got to listen to like the salsa. I got to hear the music of the chow chow, like that part, and it got me excited because, you know, I've never seen that in the Far Cry series. So that was something that stood out to me. And I wish they could have done that for this build. Now, hopefully, once the retail version comes out, I hope they add in there. I think that's very, very important to highlight and to show people about not only about the country of Mexico, but, yo, put some music in there too, man, that relates to Mexican culture, you know, Latin culture in general.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that will help the look and feel and the overall experience really flesh out a lot more. So thinking mm-hmm. along those lines, I know you say you haven't really had a lot of experience with multiplayer, but just as a single player, like, what would be your recommendation of how to get into Horizon? Like, obviously it's coming to Game Pass, so that means it may be available on mobile as well. But do you think this is truly a game where you need to sit down, full surround sound or headset, like mute the rest of the world, turn the lights down and really dive into it? Or is this something you could play on the go and get just as much fun out of it?
I think both. I think both. You play this on the go on your mobile device through xCloud, or you could just play on home with headphones or not. I think the sound, it sounds really good. Just the whole experience is really, really awesome by doing that.
Sound of the car.
And not only that, there's so many things to do in the game. The content, the amount of content that's in there. It's not only race, but also the challenges, the events, the thing that you discover in there. You could discover with friends. You could discover it on your own. It's so worth it. And one of the things that Playground Games has always been good at is adding free content once after the game releases that keeps the game exciting and fun. And, you know, I'll go back and play it again. Look, they added the Lego expansion that came out way after the release of the original game from Forza Horizon 4. And that was a lot of fun. They're always adding new things in there. So even if you never buy this game and you have the Xbox Game Pass version, there's going to be so much content. This is going to last for years. This game alone, like that. So there's a lot of things to discover in this game. It's going to be a lot of fun for you and everybody
else.
That's
really impressive. So I guess, like, the final question I have is, if I'm not a racing game fan, like, it's just not something that I've connected with in the past, like, is this the time to get into a quote unquote racing game? Is this the one that I'll have the most fun with?
Yes. The reason is the big, huge difference between this and other racing games is the open world part of it. So if you have never played Forza Horizon, let's just say never played, but you have Game Pass, go try out Forza Horizon 4. Just try it out. Get some hands-on. You will have an idea how the game is when it comes to, like, the features. Open world, you could play by yourself. You could play with a bunch of random people in there. And there's always live events that happens in the game, similar to, like a game like Destiny, something like that, because you really love Destiny, right?
Yeah.
There's live events that happens through time. It will happen like every few minutes, every few hours. That's only available once you're playing the game. So it doesn't matter if you're playing it single player or multiplayer, you also will be part of that event if you go to that location, you know. So it's always changing. So but I think the difference between this and other racing games is the open world. It's a totally different experience. And that's what makes the game fun and different. It's not them Playground Games trying to copy other racing games that's out there. You know, it's very, very unique in my opinion.
Yeah, so it's like you get lost and love all of the things that you stumble across, sort of. But
yeah,
you're just in a really high-end, beautiful car instead of walking around.
Yeah, because, you know, when you play a racing game, you go from A to B, and you have to go to the path where you are going to find those type of challenges in the game. But there's a lot that you're like, you know what, I'm taking a shortcut. Let's say you're playing multiplayer, and they'll tell you, okay, go to this location. It's going to take a while, and it's really far northeast of the game, and you're like in the south side. You have the option to take shortcuts. Everybody's going to run. Everybody's in the game. They're going to get there different ways. Some of them might fail because they probably went to like the wrong path, not knowing that there's a dead end or whatever. But you could take shortcuts. Go to the grass, trees, all kinds of stuff, and you will get to the final location. You know, so it's fun because now everybody's like challenging and competing. Like, okay, I'm gonna get the first. Watch. But you probably, not a huge racing fan, you probably know a location that you discovered on your own and nobody knows about this, and you will get there faster than everybody else that are pros into this. You know, so look, I'm not a huge racing fan, but I love Forza Horizon series. It's always been one of my favorite racing games ever for me. It's so good. It's actually been multiple times game of the year for me. Wow. And this is going to be up there for sure. This is going to be up there once the final version releases later this year.
Oh, high praise. Yes. I may have to check it out then.
Yeah, we'll play. We'll play once it comes on Game Pass, Ree.
Yeah,
we got to play that. We got together with a bunch of friends and we're going to be cracking up. So we're going to be laughing left and right. Oh my God, look at this stuff that we discovered. Oh, it's going to be fun. And there's billboards too in the game where you could just crash and blow it up, right? And mess it up. But there's going to be billboards all over the place hitting. It might be inside of houses. It might be on top of locations where you need to do certain things to jump and get there. So we have to work together as a team. Like, okay, how can we get that billboard that's on top of the church? How can we, how can we get up there? So we have to work together as a team. So
I like that. There's a little mayhem collectible. I appreciate that energy.
Cool. The closest thing I could put this is maybe Burnout, the Burnout game that came out years ago for the Xbox 360.
Okay.
That's like, I don't know if you ever played that, but that's from EA. That's the closest thing that I can think of that's also open world and you play with people together and do challenges and everything. It's a lot of fun. And the amount of content there is ridiculous. Oh my God. Same thing with this one. It's so good. So good. So
great.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great value.
Yes, highly recommended. So that's it. That's my preview of Forza Horizon 5. And thank you, Ree, for asking me these really cool questions.
You're welcome.
All right.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
So let's talk about Back 4 Blood. Ree,
yes.
I love zombie games. Love zombie games. I played this multiple times in other games like Call of Duty. I know we played Back 4 Blood a couple times in the past, but it was more like beta, etc. But now we have the full game. My God, that game is so addicting, so good. And it's also going to be available on Game Pass. So if you can't buy the game, you can play it on Game Pass. So I know the early access just came out a couple days ago. So there's people already playing. There's crossplay, so doesn't matter if you have a PS5, Xbox, or PC, you can still play together. And it was a very easy way to find people. I know last night we were playing with Blessing, with my brother, and Ree searched for Blessing, and his name popped up. And she even said herself, it was easier to find people through this game than Apex Legends. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. All I had to do was put in his PlayStation name. So I didn't even use a number code or anything else to signify. His gamer tag is different from his PlayStation ID. So I literally just type in his PlayStation ID and it popped right up. And he was able to join in. Took 10 seconds. It was very, very simple.
That's awesome. Really cool. I didn't know that until you mentioned that last night. I was like, all right.
Yeah. It's a huge step in the right direction for crossplay for sure. Because like finding people and getting into the party a lot of times can take 20, 30 minutes. And if you're, you know, an adult with life responsibilities and limited game time, that's a huge detriment. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that the Turtle Rock has been able to make that a little bit more seamless this time around.
Yeah. I really enjoy this game a lot, especially playing with friends. I haven't really tried solo mode because I know there is an option where you could start with your deck of cards, which is very, very helpful for whatever you do, if it's even a campaign or multiplayer, because it will help you with health, stamina, weapons, like damage, everything, right? So I've been having a blast playing this with friends. Mm-hmm. So much fun. It reminds me of the old days of Left 4 Dead, but this time I feel like the experience changes every time you play those levels. It could be harder. There might be some random bosses there. And also, before you start your mission, there's always going to be these set of cards that will pop up where your partners will do something like, okay, let's add some event in the game, or let's add a mystery boss that will pop up randomly, or challenge mode where from start to end you have to end the game in a certain amount of time, etc. Like so a lot of cool challenges in there when you start.
Yeah,
but overall,
yeah, they really focus on the replayability, and I appreciate that on a game like this because I think there's only 3 acts in total that you can play in.
Four.
Campaign with.
It's actually
four.
Four, yeah.
4x in total that you can play campaign mode with up to 3 friends, and definitely try to find 3 friends because playing with the bot is difficult. There is matchmaking, at least live right now as we're speaking. Mm-hmm. And it's helpful. Most of the solos or the people that have jumped into our 4-player games in campaign mode have been pretty decent and have gotten us really far. But it's tough when you can't communicate entirely with the other people on your team. There is a limited ping system similar to what you've seen in Apex and what has later come to Fortnite and other games. And as Danny, as you mentioned, there is the ability to sort of collaborate on what the challenge of this run is going to be every time you enter in a new spawn point. Yeah. And playing with friends is ridiculously fun. Like there's chaos. It's sort of procedurally generated. So different mission items will pop up in different locations every time you go through. So it's not entirely predictable. So it feels fresh and fun, even if you're playing for the 4th and 5th time, as we've gotten through some levels now. Mm-hmm. Some of the mission design is really innovative and definitely calls back to, you know, horde mode moments in Gears of War or different experiences you've had in Left 4 Dead. But for the most part, you are moving. Like, you have to keep moving. You want to pull out your melee weapon, knock zombies on the head, keep running, find the next objective. And it's something that keeps me awake. And I fall asleep a lot playing games late at night. But so far, I have not dozed off at all playing Back 4 Blood. And you mentioned the card system before. That's another element that really makes each run feel unique. It's similar to other systems you've seen, like in Hades, where you're choosing different stats to level up or different bonuses that apply to either you as a character or your entire team every time you complete a round. And you get to a safe house, you take a breath, you regroup, grab a glass of water or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you pick another card, and it could be additional health. It gives you more stamina. It applies like an ammo upgrade for the rest of your team and you. And you choose a new card every time you get to that safe house checkpoint. And it really does encourage a lot of cooperation and a lot of like organic gameplay challenges when you're working with those 3 other people. And mm-hmm. I'm having an absolute fabulous time playing it. I can't wait to play it again today.
Yeah, and every time we play, I mentioned to Rhi and everybody, like, hey, we only have 2 minutes left. Another wave is coming. hurry up. But the thing is with this, there is no map. There's no radar. There's no will tell you like where to go. Unless you're close to a safe or an objective, it will give you like a little pin to go there. But most of the time, we're running around trying to figure it out, like, okay, where the hell we have to go next? But it helps us to work together and find new items, weapons, or health that will help us out too during the mission. So I like that. It doesn't have to be similar to every single game that's out there, like have a radar system and all that. You don't need to do that. For me, it's fine. You felt the same way for you or no?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a choice, right? A deliberate choice to not have a very obvious mini-map. And mm-hmm. I like it. I think it fits the theme of the game. You know, you're in the apocalypse, you're fighting zombies, you have no idea where anything is. Mm-hmm. You're following a couple of prompts on a radio, and then that's all you have to go from. Mm-hmm. If you turn on subtitles, it makes it a little bit easier. And you can say, like, oh, I'm supposed to find the bar or the big tow truck, and mm-hmm. you can see it a little bit more in the distance, and then you have a better bearing on where you need to go. But if you're not paying attention, you can absolutely get lost for an almost infinite amount of time. Zombies will keep coming if you stay still too long, and it's definitely a game that rewards exploration, trial and error, like you said, teamwork. Like, maybe you split up into duos to find the next objective or figure out where you're supposed to go, and then you regroup once you've, you know, gotten a better handle on your surroundings. Like, it feels a little bit more true to, you know, running around in an apocalypse where you have no idea where you're going.
Yeah, another thing I noticed about this too, and this is a very odd design choice. I don't know why they managed to do this, but we try to do a party chat, just a group of us, same system, Xbox. And for some strange reason, we're in the party chat, you can still listen to each other through the game, like the invoice chat. I don't know why they managed to do that. It was very odd. So we have to go to the settings and turn off our audio so it won't pop up twice, like in the game and also in the private chat. That was very weird. That was
definitely weird. Yeah. Definitely weird, but it's nice that they gave you the option, right? Like, so you can turn your mic volume up and down, and you can turn other chat volume up and down. Mm-hmm. So you can choose how loud the other players are. You can choose how loud they hear you, mm-hmm. which is a really nice refinement of, you know, the typical on-off voice feature. Mm-hmm. And the accessibility options are pretty decent as well in this game. I know we didn't mention it quite so much after we talked about Far Cry mm-hmm. at length, but yeah, it makes it a lot easier to interact with people the way you want to, because I know personally I don't like talking to strangers online most of the time. Mm-hmm. And it's enough to ping something, like ping the little health kit on the wall if they're not getting it mm-hmm. Over and over again. And then eventually they'll run over to see what it was. But yeah, I prefer to keep the in-game chat turned all the way down. And it's nice that they give you shades of how much your voice you want other people to hear.
Now for the final act, no, not the final act, but the last level, each act, it gets really, really aggressive and tough. Like the first mm-hmm. one, it took us a while. I think it took us like 2-3 times for us to complete the first act, final stage.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say why or what, but it was very, very challenging. And I think right
teamwork.
Now...
It's about teamwork.
Teamwork. And the thing now with the game, because we're like, what, Act 3 I think it is, right, Ree? Or Act 2?
Yeah, we're playing through Act 3 right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so the thing that we notice while compared to like Act 1, now the zombies now have helmets. They have a shield. It takes a lot longer to kill them. Another thing that I noticed too is the amount of zombies that pops up. If you're in a spot, it's like unlimited zombies. You have to shoot and run, shoot, run. You can't just be in the same spot, because what's going to happen is your ammo is going to run out. Mm-hmm. You're going to get extremely tired if you're using the machete or axe or bat. It gets really, really challenging. Now you got to start reviving your teammates. Oh my God, it's really, really tough. But I love it. I love that that challenge. And I can't wait for people to play this once it releases in a couple of days, man. So was it challenging for you too, Ree?
Oh, absolutely. I know I, much like my Hades run where I play with the Malphin, I love melee in this game. So my first love was the machete. I'm falling in love with the axe, which you can find more often, I've noticed, than the machete, at least so far in my playthrough. Mm-hmm. And I will spec so that I gain health or regain health whenever I make a melee kill. And I just chop everything. Like, I hardly shoot my gun unless there's a boss or an objective coming up. And it's been a blast. So I've definitely been like melee tanking and healing passively for myself, and then also I have a couple of revives for my teammates usually on my build. I play as the character named Mom, and it's been a really good time. But I will say, if you don't have a solid 4 people to play with, or you're not used to playing with strangers online, you may not have the same experience that we are talking about, because it truly takes a lot of coordination and like, oh no, I'm down, or there's a wall crawler, or there's a big arm guy. Everybody focus fire. Like, you have to work with your team to get through these levels for sure.
Yeah. Well, so I know we mentioned about characters very quick. So my character that I've been using a lot is Holly, which is mom's daughter. So you hear them a lot interacting during the missions of like Holly would be like, oh, come on, Mom, or thanks, Mom, you know, like things like that. So if you shoot each other, they also will interact. Because we have friendly fire off for us.
Off.
Off, completely off.
Off. Highly recommend turning it off for the first time.
Yes, because you'll be shooting each other all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Ree, I'm excited for this game to come out on Game Pass, because I think people are going to play this for a very, very long time. And it's the perfect time too. It's like Halloween and, you know, zombies. Mm-hmm. Really cool theme. I'm excited for people to discover this game. I think this is the perfect game for Game Pass. The perfect game. For you, what are your
definitely
thoughts?
A huge win. Huge win for Game Pass. And as you said, wonderful timing around spooky season. But also more than that, it's a great introduction into, you know, more co-op experiences. Like, we haven't had a ton of games like this recently. Of course, you have your battle royales, but it's nice to have a campaign that you can play through with your friends and, you know, just jump in, jump out. If you join late after, you know, 3 of your friends have had a run and they've gone through 4 or 5 levels, you hop in. They give you an additional set of cards to choose from so you can catch up. you know, you don't feel like you're left out. You don't feel like, you know, people are passing you up. It's a really nice, you know, pick up and put down kind of game that you can play with your friends. And it's perfect for when everybody starts staying indoors a little bit more often.
Yeah. You know, my brother, because he also got the game. And before he got the game, he was like, it's Back for Blood. Like, he was not really excited about it. He's like, whatever. So I'm like, no. Let's all play together for the first time. Because I haven't played this since the beta. That was a long time ago. So we got together and we played our couple missions. And now he is hooked. He is hooked. He's even excited for his friends to play this game once it comes out on Game Pass. Because now they're all going to get together, play, etc. But I think it's awesome. I think a lot of people are probably sleeping on it because, again, this is like the holiday season. You're going to see all these brand new games coming out, like Far Cry 6, Forza Horizon, Halo coming up, Call of Duty. But I think now that the game is going to be on Game Pass, I think this is going to be an opportunity for everybody to start talking about it. And and it's also going to influence people to not only try it through the service, but also buy the game on their different platforms, you know? So I think this is going to help out, get the word out about the game. It's a lot of fun. I highly, highly recommend it for those that want to play this with friends. Highly recommend it.
Now, Danny, I know you've probably had a little bit more time with the game than I have. Mm-hmm. I have not touched Solo. Do you have any experience with it yet? Or do you have any thoughts on how a solo game is? Because not everybody has, you know, three people with the same schedule.
I haven't tried it at all. I should have done that because I've been having a great time playing with y'all, you know. So I'm going to play it again and campaign just solo to see how it is, to see how different the difficulty is compared to multiplayer. But I guess there has to be less zombies. It's a lot easier to play because there's no way they're going to add it like aggressive, like, you know, missions like that when you play multiplayer. There's no way. Because usually when you play games multiplayer, the difficulty gets higher because now it's more people. There's more zombies. I really doubt it's going to be like that for the campaign. Yeah. So anything else?
No, I think everyone should give it a try.
Give it a try.
It's worth a whirl. If you have Game Pass, boot it up. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah. Also,
always have a machete.
Yes, the machete. You know what? I like the axe.
I do like the axe too. I think I might be liking the axe more than machete, actually.
I like the axe more than the machete. Is really good. Now, Ree has this card. I'm telling you, the cards, super, super important. Especially for me, I like to run a lot and use machete, but then your stamina goes low. So you have to like wait until it comes back. But Ree has this card where if she uses melee, she also will help regenerate her health back. So she's been doing this the whole time. So you see her swinging and you see her glowing green because she's getting health every time she kills a zombie. I'm like, all right.
And then I'm just covered in blood.
Yeah.
Just completely.
Yeah. So you do start with there's like a starter pack once you begin the game. And you choose from those cards and select which ones you want. But they're also going to be unlocking new cards every single time. So the more mission you do, the more, I don't know if it's money or what it is that you get, it will help you go to an area where you can unlock more cards. And it's going to help you to make the campaign a lot easier. And make sure to do some research. Because we found that out like right after. We're like, oh, wait, hold on. What's this area? And we started unlocking new cards. I'm like, all right. And that's when Ree unlocked that card, was by doing that. That was awesome.
That was a special moment for me.
Yeah. Any other cards you recommend people to try out, in your opinion?
Yeah, for sure. There are some cards, like I said, that affect you as a player. So, you know, anytime I melee, I get some heals back. There are also cards that affect the entire team, like increase ammo, which is really important. Like Danny said, you can run out of ammo very easily if you get stuck in a spot where you're just like shooting into an endless wave of zombies. Mm-hmm. There are different cards that you can put on to give everybody more stamina, everybody more health. Cards that help you revive your teammates faster, which is really, really crucial, especially on those boss waves. So, yeah, definitely explore them. My recommendation is the first time you jump in, play through a couple of acts, get some currency first because you can't buy any cards at the beginning. Then go visit the dude by the red truck, I think, and start unlocking cards, and then go back to your card deck and customize something that so that you have more than just what's in your starter deck. So that's the order of operations that I would recommend.
Yeah, I know people have been asking in the chat if this game is going to be on Game Pass. Is it available now? It's coming out October 12th. This is the standard version of the game. The reason why the game is out now to the public is there's an early access version, which that was released on Thursday. So Tuesday, it's going to be available on Game Pass for everyone. And yeah, make sure to check it out. Back 4 Blood, the developers, the original developers that worked on Left 4 Dead. So there you go.
Major Left 4 Dead vibes.
Yes, yes. All right, Reed, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that. An hour just flew by, you know, talking to my beautiful fiance, you know.
Aww. It's so- well, it's a very typical conversation for us. Like,
yeah.
It's funny. A lot of times we'll be talking about a game that we're both playing in the house, and we're like, maybe we should be recording this.
I know, because- right? It's like a great conversation every single time. I honestly, we got to record more podcasts together. I just love.
We do.
I love our conversation. It's so cool, and it's the flow. It goes by so smoothly. It's oh, I love it.
It's like we're dancing.
I know, right? We got to dance. We got to dance the Far Cry 6 track. Ciao, ciao, ciao. We got to definitely do that. We definitely got to do that. Is there anything else, Ree, you'd like to promote, talk about here on the podcast so people could, you know, follow you on Twitter and social media or the gram?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I work at G4. Also, ghost member of What's Good Games. So check out both of those things. And anytime I'm doing something, I will absolutely tweet or retweet about it. And you can follow me on Twitter at Rihanna Tweets Now. That's R-I-A-N-A Tweets Now.
Yes. And Ree, once Halo Infinite comes out in December, oh man, we're going to be playing big team and multiplayer together. Ooh, that's going to be fire.
Oh, I cannot wait. Oh, I cannot wait.
What was your favorite highlight moment, Halo Infinite multiplayer, when we play the technical preview? Was there anything that stood out to you like, oh my God, this is awesome?
I mean, when you drove that person over the edge of the map inside the Warthog and then you completely grappled back to safety and let them fall to their doom, that was pretty hilarious.
That's
what else?
Iconic.
Ooh,
iconic.
All the mongoose kills. I got a lot of mongoose kills. Those felt good.
Really? Wait, as a driver or you were in the back?
As a driver.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, I enjoy more ghosts. I could, oh man, I get a lot of kills with the ghost.
And ghost is an easy one. I like the challenge of trying to, you know, drive somebody down on a four-wheeler.
That's cool. All right, for everyone, thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1169. Now, a couple of shout-outs. Shout-out to Ryan McCaffrey from IGN. He invited me to be part of Podcast Unlocked. Make sure to listen to the episode. That was a lot of fun recording that. That was really cool. And I got together also with Stella, and we talked about Halo Infinite multiplayer. Talked about a little bit about Far Cry. Alan Wake Remastered also came out. That's another game I have to talk about, but that's I'm going to talk about that later this week on the next episode of GTR. So yeah, make sure to check out the latest episode of Podcast Unlocked. Shout out to the whole IGN crew out there. Also, like Ryu was saying at the beginning of the show, I'm going to be a guest at on What's Good Games soon. Can't say the date yet, but soon. And I can't wait to catch
very
up.
Soon.
Can't wait to catch up with Andrea. We haven't recorded a podcast since last year.
And you have some unsettled business.
Yes,
right?
We got to talk about our bet. We got to talk about our Starfield exclusive and not exclusive bet. So that's gonna be interesting. I can't wait to talk about that. What else? Yeah. So just be on the lookout. We have a lot of things coming up. Also, shout out to Game Informer because they actually wrote an article about cool clips that has been posted online about Halo Infinite, and they used my clip, Ree.
Yeah.
With the multiplayer grapple hook, Spider-Man style. They put it up there, so shout out to Game Informer for doing that. And actually, Ree, you were also a Game Informer podcast, right?
Yes, I was. Oh my gosh, wow. I just completely blanked.
She was like, I did? Really?
I did? Oh, you saw the panic. No, yeah, absolutely. Alex Van Eken, shout out to him and all the team over there at the Game Informer podcast. They invited me to come over talk about a couple different things. And I had a really great discussion on Psychonauts and listening to them recap a few of the more JRPG games that I am less familiar with. So yeah, go check that out. I think it was two episodes ago where I guested.
All right, cool. Wow, Ree was like, really? I did? I recorded that? I wasn't sure. Awesome. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes, and make sure to share the content to your friends, family, random people, whatever you want. Just support, share, listen. We had one listener that just discovered us recently. He started listening to his first episode back in January, all the way to the one that we have now. He said it took him almost 2 weeks. So shout out to him.
I mean,
that's incredible.
It's a lot of episodes.
That's a lot of episodes. Yo, salute. That's pretty cool. So yes, people are always doing that, discovering new shows, new episodes. That was awesome. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail discussion or segment, here's how you can contact
us. Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Thank you for listening to, once again, episode 1169. We'll be back here again. It's going to be a couple of weeks, just me. We might hear Paris here and there. We'll see it. But Pete, it's going to be a while for him to be on the podcast. He's going to be out for a while, but he'll be back. He'll be back. All right. But probably you're going to have Reed Moore here and other guests, other surprises. You never know. And we're going to leave it as that. Until next time, I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.